All right, so we're calling this Planning Commission and Plating Board regular meeting on Thursday, May 18th, 2023. Call to order.
It is 6:01.
Okay, should we do a roll call?
Sure. Williams? Not present. Swangle?
Here.
Okay, Marquez?
Here.
Bagley?
Here.
And Hetfield.
Here.
Excellent. We have a quorum.
All right. Is there... Oh, we know there's revisions to the agenda.
Okay. So, we have several... We have two revisions to the agenda. The first being the easier one of the two. Resolution 2023-05 in new business. There was a directive from City Council to the City Manager to explore site control for... the two lots over at the clinic, and that basically invalidates the need for the variance that's in that resolution. So you'll see that we are asking to remove that because there's no point. The second item is the old business resolution 2023-03 for the cell tower on lot on track A, block 6, Ilulac subdivision. We are asking to postpone that for the week of the 29th because we do not have a quorum tonight for members who have been previously excused as having a conflict. So if we can set a date for that sometime during that week, that would be ideal.
Okay. So the 29th is... what? Is that something we would do right now then, or later on in the meeting?
That is something we can do right now. That way, anybody who's involved in that,
get out of here. Okay, so the 29th is what? Like, isn't that like a Monday?
The 29th is Monday. It's Memorial Day, so we have a couple of days in there. I'll pull up the calendar on the screen so you can see it. Okay, so that leaves the 30th, the 1st, and the 2nd.
Okay, so Tuesday, the 30th?
Tuesday, the 30th. Does that work for...
The
1st.
Just in case I can sign back in. Just to check, Travis, there's no council activity scheduled for that Tuesday?
No.
There is not, and Matt is traveling. He's asked for the 1st, Thursday, the 1st.
That's fine.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Right.
Okay.
I can't think of any conflict okay with me.
Okay, if anybody has any if anybody has any objection to that.
Does anybody have any objections to the first, or is I feel like we're all in agreement here?
I have none.
Okay, so then overall, just a quick, if anybody has any objections to changes made to the agenda.
Okay, is there any objections to changes?
No objections, but I have a clarification, just trying to understand a little better the variance that was requested. Was it the clinic lot or was it the state park lot? And where or why was the request? Just curious what's going on with the variance or why did they need one?
Okay, so on the clinic lot, the front corner where the dumpsters are, that was going... They were going to add a CT machine, or are going to add a CT machine, a mobile platform to that area. That is going to change now because they no longer... they're still going to put the CT machine there. And it conflicts with what's called a paper street. It's Lavelle Court. So I'm going to pull this up on the screen. You guys can see... Travis, if you're on your computer, you can also see what we're looking at here. Lavelle Court basically is a big turnaround that pulls into the clinic parking lot and it crosses over into the skate park. It doesn't really exist. It doesn't really solve any issues or anything. So when the directive from city council was to allow clinic to explore site control for the skate park lot, the clinic's goal in the future is to combine both of those lots into a single lot and get rid of the actual Lavelle Court, the turnaround there. If they do end up, in fact, doing that, then there's no point in having a variance. It basically nullifies the variance within 2 months of us having applied for it and gone through. So we'll have just basically gone through the motions for no real reason.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the explanation. That kind of clarifies, and I appreciate that. And honestly, I'm a bigger fan of that skate park being utilized for either, you know, future growth of the clinic or overflow parking or, you know, future development rather than being in the police station, which I know has been discussed as one of the site locations. I've already expressed my disdain for that. I think there's another lot that could be used for that police station. So I guess by you saying that they're going to look into combining that lot, that sounds like it's kind of moving towards not being a police station option anymore, maybe, or?
That's at least for now that's accurate. Like I said, we're going through the process of trying to figure out what that's going to look like. But at least for now, the city council's directive was to explore an agreement with the clinic to give them that parcel, control over that parcel.
Okay, so moving on to appearance requests. I don't know if we have, I mean, obviously we have the guys from Optimera here tonight, but we're not even going to end up talking about what they're here for now. We have, is this gentleman here in the...
This is Anke. He's the applicant for item number one in new business, the preliminary plat for Peroser in subdivision.
Got it, okay. Sorry, I recognize you. I just not familiar. Other than that, I don't know if we have anybody else on the phone other than Travis.
We only have Travis online.
Okay.
And we have one other person in the audience.
I'm sorry.
I just came to find out.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Okay.
And then is there any other announcements? I don't have anything unless any of you folks do.
Nothing related to Planning Commission. I do have a GIS applicant. We're having an interview with them tomorrow. So hopefully we'll have somebody to replace Cameron in the next month or so, two months.
Nice.
So fingers crossed that interview goes well. And if we end up bringing them out, we will bring them to Planning Commission for, a meet and greet as part of their interview. And then separately from that, tomorrow is the kickoff of Safe Boating Week. So it is Wear Your Life Vest to Work Day. It's also the kickoff of, you know, pretty much all of our EMS week and safety season and boating season and everything else. So it's one of those everybody be safe out there kind of announcements. Other than that, that's it.
All right. So moving on to minutes, draft minutes for meeting March 28th. We need to approve those minutes. Do we hear a motion to approve the minutes from March 28th?
Is it 27th or 28th?
20. It's, paperwork says 28th unless there's something different there.
That meeting would have been...
The 27th.
Did I put the 28th on the agenda?
Yeah. I move to approve the minutes of March 27th.
I'll second that.
Okay. Minutes have been approved. We move into public hearing.
You have to at least ask if anybody has any objections.
Sorry. Is there any objections to that?
Nope. Okay.
Okay, so we're going to move into public hearing, which is resolution 2023-03, and that has been tabled until June 1st. Is that correct, Thomas?
That is the first item, and that has been tabled till June 1st. So from here on out, we would not include anything unless the applicant or our audience member would like to put something on the record.
Okay. Moving on to resolution 2023-04, resolution approving a preliminary plat for Perebserin subdivision, a re-subdivision of lot 3, Holly subdivision, plat 9513 aired. So if there's anything anyone would like to say on the public hearing side, now would be your time for that. In regards,
I don't see anybody. NK.
Okay.
You'll have a chance to speak during the new business portion as well.
Here. Oh, come up to the thing so we can hear you there.
Yeah, this subdivision for I want to build house this summer. So if it goes as fast as go, it would be good for me. That's all I like to say.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, is there, so we want to go ahead and move on to the next resolution then?
So that will conclude public hearing because 2023-05 has been removed.
Right.
And old business is also stricken because we are pushing that to June 1st.
Right.
It's been a day. It's
kind of confusing here.
It's a little bit of a confusing packet to have thrown you into.
Okay, so new business. Basically, the only new business that we have to talk about is item one, which is resolution 2023-04, resolution approving a preliminary plat for Perebserin subdivision, re-subdivision of lot 3, Holly subdivision, plat 95-13 aired.
So you'll have to have a motion and a second to open discussion.
I move to approve resolution 2023-04.
Second.
Oh, Travis, you got to be quicker.
Okay. Okay, so resolution 2023-04 is approved. Now we would move into work session. We're open for discussion on that.
It's on the table, no discussion.
Right, it's not a work session. It's open for discussion.
I'm sorry.
As it's on new business, so it's a.
So I guess I'm confused on why we would approve it if we haven't talked about it yet.
That's just on there to discuss it, and then at the end of the discussion, we.
Okay.
Correct. Yep. Nailed it. So. Yeah, as far as our resolutions go, and as far as everything that planning will try to write, we try to write in the affirmative at all times, especially when it comes to code rewrites and things, so that we don't run into issues with any kind of double negatives, any kind of issues with understanding at its face what is being written or what is being rewritten. And you'll see that when we discuss our conflict of interest with the attorneys and everything, because there's a few double negatives or things are written kind of clumsily, and we have to try and sort through that. So resolution 2023-04 is on the board, and we'll give you a summary of our kind of background and findings. So the property was constructed on in 2016-17. It's a duplex on the property currently. That was building and building permit 2023-03. It has applied for a single unit construction on the new lot that's planned to be subdivided. A 24 by 36 foot structure, including garage, three bedrooms. It's roughly about three quarters the size of the existing building that's in the on the property. There is a 30-40 foot cliff on the back side of the property there, which you'll see in images I'll be bringing up. So that does create a little bit of a constraint on the property. And the current duplex that is there was designed and constructed on the lot with the intention of being able to put a second building in the rear of the lot. So the current duplex does encroach into the modified setback of the front yard by 3 feet. It was modified by by a planning determination, and the west side yard by roughly 4 feet. Our imagery is a little bit off in that area, so these are kind of round numbers. However, it is enough to be outside of the margin of error. So there is a little bit of inconsistency there. Parking is at a premium on this lot. You'll see in the images later that the parking area is roughly 3 feet too short for the minimum requirements for what a parking space is in city code, which is 9 by 20. And then it is barely sufficient for the existing four car minimum for a duplex. There's room for the cars to line up across the front of the yard. However, you'll see that they don't quite fit well without falling into the street, into the right of way. There is a shipping container on the lot. It is recommended that it be maintained on lot 3B if the subdivision goes through. That way, there is adequate space for an amended parking plan for the duplex in the front. As far as neighborhood character, there are no lots in the neighborhood that are 6,000 square feet. The design for this lot would create two lots that are roughly 6,500 square feet. This does, however, open the door for other lots in the neighborhood to potentially subdivide into smaller 6,000 square foot lots. As far as the access easement, it makes up what is roughly 27% of what will be lot 3. I have 3B listed. I'm going to double check. I think that's actually 3A, not 3B. So that results in basically unusable land for that future development or for the future landowner. In addition, that access easement is roughly within a foot of the existing building, which does open up the potential for, the potential for property damage. If somebody leaves something out in that easement on the side of their house, that's going to end up creating an issue with the neighbor in the back. So in existing situations where we have tight parking minimums, and space that such as this, we have neighbors who have disputes currently. The most recent one has resulted in multiple calls to police, planning, public works. They ended up bringing a surveyor out here because of it. So we're trying to balance that with the property owner's right to subdivide. Because of these kind of issues here. I've recommended effectively 8 different conditions. However, these conditions are soft. They're on the plat. So if somebody is going to construct in the future, or somebody takes over these properties and decides they want to change in the future, building permits don't review the plat typically. So if there's conditions here, it's going to be very difficult for these to be enforced long term. Before I get into those list of conditions, I'll give you kind of an overview of current conditions. So what you can see here on the screen, we have the rough footprint of the structure along with the shipping container that needs to be moved, and the proposed building placement in the back of the lot. And you can see kind of here on this back side, this is where that cliff side is, which you'll see in better detail in some of the photos. You can see here in the front yard, I mean, this truck's parked way out in the street. He's considerable distance off from the front door of the building, but you can see that there is already, you know, some misuse of that parking space, that parking area already. Let's see. Sorry, wrong document. There we go. And then here is the clean and not at all fuzzy version of that subdivision document. So here you can see the lot's 6,588 square feet in the back, 6,589 square feet in the front. That 20-foot access easement, you can see how it runs, just shaves along the edge of the building there. And you have the appropriate 2 parking spaces are shown in the back, and then the parking spaces shown in the front. It shows 4 of them, but again, they are not up to code in terms of size. And that 15 feet is not enough to adequately really fit a vehicle. And then here are some views to kind of give you an idea of what it is that we're looking at. So in the back, you can see this cliff face is where there's going to be some need for removal in order to fit that new building. This pole here is one of the property corners, and it's a little bit difficult to see, but you can see the second property corner of that east lot line is here. And there's some photos from this perspective looking down into the lot as well. So you can see this is the intended driveway for an access easement. And you can see, I mean, this is where the meter reads are. This is where, I mean, there's some materials piled up. This already is a situation where you could have an argument from the neighbor in the rear yard. Moving on to the next one, this is the opposite side of the building. Roughly around here, okay, so it's not very clear, but this little kind of divot here is where the property corner is. We were not able to determine where the uphill property corner is, so somewhere roughly in a straight line up the hill is where that would be. So there's not much room on this side in terms of space for parking or anything there. And you can see there's a meter here, and just off the camera screen, there's a electric box and some utilities. Here's the view looking downhill. This pole here is directly in line with the other pole you saw in the last image, so it's pretty much giving you an idea of exactly where that lot line lies. So you can see overall there's a bit of a drainage issue in the back, that there is a drainage plan, so that will be dealt with. But again, it does kind of give you an idea of the amount of space that's available for this subdivision. Let's see. And in this photo, more of an overview of the entire lot. You can imagine another structure, similar but not entirely the same size as the existing one here, a little bit shorter. Imagine about 3/4 in place where this pickup truck is in this corner. That is the future proposed development. Here is a picture of current parking conditions. So you can see, you know, this is a large pickup truck, very large pickup truck with a plow on the front of it. And you'll see in the next photo how it is poking into the street. But also in comparison, you can see two smaller midsize SUVs, how they are actually parked in the, you know, inside of the street as well. So you can see here, this is where the property pin is in this hole. And roughly a straight line to, you can see the pole sticking up that you saw in that first picture, in line with, so the edge of the right of way. And going back up to the previous picture, you can see that this car is pretty much parked up against what would be the front of the building, this blue SUV. And you can see that even it's sticking out a little bit in the back of the lot, or into the right of way. So I took all of these pictures all at the same time, as far as the parking goes. So nobody has moved in these pictures. Everything is static from one to the other. In the original design for the structure that was the duplex, it was designed to have offset diagonal parking for those cars. And if everybody maintains diagonal parking, obviously they would be able to fit, but that is not necessarily reality. So those are things to be considering. So as we go back up to our conditions of approval, the parking lot for, if you choose to approve this, we've recommended parking for 3A must not interfere with lot 3B. So that front lot should not interfere with the back one, and shall include adequate space behind the existing structure. That way the two cars in the front basically can park sideways, parallel park in front of the structure and not be in the street. The shipping container must conform to setbacks if it's kept, whether it is on lot A or B. There needs to be adequate space. The garage for lot 3B shall be maintained for parking. That way that there is, again, adequate parking and no disputes between neighbors. The plat shall include a note that indicating that the easement is available for the owners and tenants of lot 3A for travel, but not blocking the residents of 3B. The access easement should be made 15 feet as recommended. That way, and grading shall be widened in order to maximize the amount of travel way outside of the corner of the existing building. That way it's a safe travel way. A note should be included that disputes regarding the access easement are a civil matter and not the responsibility of the city to adjudicate. Hopefully the planning department will not end up receiving a whole bunch of phone calls, and Public Works will not receive phone calls for locates. We're trying to, again, avoid any kind of disputes between neighbors. Additionally, the fact that, again, in clear print, it is a civil matter. It is not for our city departments to be making any kind of decisions on, or any kind of judicial process on. And then a note should be added that the structure on lot 3A is granted a 3-foot after-the-fact variance with approval of the subdivision. That way the building is in compliance. And the last two items are specifically for the city planning and zoning. The final plat closure report should be submitted. That just indicates that all of the corners of the boundaries are all coming together, and it's a actual square. And then electronic versions should be supplied to the planning department for the CAD and GIS. That way, all of these things are just easily ported into our system as opposed to having to spend time individually drawing out every line and going through all of that process. Those are requirements as a standard of our development code or subdivision code, but they are 100% of the time ignored by the surveyor. So we try to make sure to hammer this one kind of home. This is more of a standard thing for any lot that we'll put on there. So it is the recommendation of the planning department that, I mean, with these extensive conditions, and if there's anything else that you guys see that is appropriate, that it is approved. But we leave that to you.
Okay. So I don't know. There's, I guess, a couple things to start out with to talk about here. I feel like the proposed basically right of way on the side of the house here. The easement, I think that's going to create chaos. You've got a little bit of space, and that's going to be right up, you're almost right up against the house. If in the future lot 3B is sold and you have a different owner with lot 3B and 3A, I can see the people in 3B complaining about the people in 3-1 and it being a constant issue if they don't get along. If they get along, it could be great. If you continue to own both properties, I think it would probably work fine. But if we get into a situation where someone else owns 3B than 3A, people are leaving bikes in the street. You know, there's a lot of different things that we could speculate on what could happen there. I feel like that's a concern of mine. And also another concern is by doing this and splitting this lot up, like Thomas was talking about, I feel like it could create other issues in this area with other people that have lots that it feels like it's almost big enough lot to do this. You have a nice backyard. It almost meets everything that I would say fit the criteria. You've got a nice spot to build a nice little home there. But because of this easement space and the parking issues that could come with that, there's some issues that could come. If we have other people in the neighborhood in years to come that decide they want to subdivide their lots that are almost big enough, but you have just about the largest one in the area, so I could see that being a concern as well. And then one of the stipulations on here, I believe that, we were just talking about, was the exceptions, was that 40-foot container would be moved if this was approved. So okay, so question, if that container was gone, this proposed lot line that's across there right now, because right now there's an issue with the amount of parking that's going to be available for lot 3B, right?
Correct.
And this proposed lot line that stretches across here, that's just a proposal on what their surveyor has written up?
That would be where the lot line is planned for.
Yes. Right. And so if they moved it closer to lot 3A, I mean, And would that allow for enough space? Is there any way that we could move that closer to kind of, you know, help this guy meet in the middle or something so that parking would be more appropriate? I mean, we already clearly have an issue with the parking in 3A, and I don't think there's a whole lot that can really be done about that. I mean, those people all park out front. They're not parking out back. Realistically, to make this work, you know, the lots are already small.
So currently, you know, we have an issue with the property itself is going to have the required setbacks. And then additionally, the container as it's laid out is crossing that property boundary. So it's going to have to either get straightened out to be parallel with the property boundary, or it's going to have to move entirely.
Right.
As far as this goes, I'll grab a little measuring tool up here real quick. What's an 8-foot container?
96 inches wide by
standard shipping container. So I believe it's eight full feet.
Approximately, yeah.
Approximately.
8 foot wide and 40 foot long.
Yeah. So you're going to have a 15-foot setback on that line, plus another 8 feet. And that's rough. So that does leave 14 feet in between on that one side. And then if I go 8 feet out, we go another, where's 15? Come on. That leaves another 9 feet again. It could fit on the same lot. It could stay on 3A. It'll basically be in the middle of the backyard, but that would leave area available for a car to be parked on either side of it, and that would also leave space for the cars to be parked in either front to back in parallel to the building. However, there is egress on the back side of that building. There's windows to a bedroom and multiple bedrooms. So you can't put the shipping container directly up against the building. There's going to have to be space there. So that pushes this container weirdly into the middle of the backyard.
Right. Well, I guess I was, my whole consideration was that the container wouldn't even be there.
Right.
I feel like we're, I don't know, without making up for something somewhere.
Conceivably, it could be turned and dropped next to lot the proposed structure on 3B. It would fit in the space over here.
Huh? Can I say something?
Come on up to the microphone.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Just press the button there to turn it on.
All right. So when I built 5 years ago that duplex and that container, I used for building material inside, so because weather, you know. And then at that time, I went to planning department, and then we talked about my future plan, going to subdivide back there, and then we planned like that. And then that's why I built duplex like that. And the, at that time, like 20 foot wide access, like that. And the after use, also the container is it's fall inside building materials. So there is outside some lumbers. So those lumbers going to use too. It's not gonna be lock junk anymore after build, you know. So and then After that container is also used for build the three bedroom and two bedroom, one car garage, the house over there. After built, I'm going to move that one for out of the lot, or could be like Thomas said, next to the house. That's what I'm planning, because I can't move right now because it's full of building materials in there.
So I guess if I understand you correctly, so basically you built that house and you set up those lots at the recommendation of the Planning Commission. They told you that this is the best way to set this up so that you could subdivide in the future.
Yeah, that was my idea of the how layout, the duplex, and the because of the view, because of the south wind, north wind is the strongest wind, so I want to build a strong house. Yep. So that's why the length this way instead of like more surface blowing on the south. So that's my idea of how build the stronger with this weather. And then also the drainage plan is important because wet problem. So that's how I like a little bit front.
Yep.
Then I wasn't like planning to sell this lots. So but in case in the future, if I sell, it should be like correct. But why I pushed the duplex in forward and pushed as much the house in back, that I want to create a green nice yard between there for kids play or something. That's my plan was, so.
Sure. Do any of my other?
And my idea was that, like planning, but the planning department 5 years ago approved that one, made sure.
So, and also, planning department will have applicants come in and will kind of lay things out, try to advise a little bit on, how things might fit. But that doesn't mean that it's always the 100% the best way to do it. We're not surveyors. We're not, experts in terms of architecture and what's being constructed and how, our thing is will they follow code, and based on, interpretation of that code, you have the conditions in front of you that would make it viable, if that clears that up.
Yeah, I guess my question was whether or not, I feel like Keith thought about this when he built that house a few years ago and knew that this could possibly be an option. And then he came to the planning department and asked whether, he just told us that he asked whether or not he could be 20 feet from the edge of the property line. And so he was trying to do his due diligence and ask whether or not that was going to work. And so he built that house with the thought process of that. And he thought he was doing the right thing and asking the right questions when he built it.
There is an electrical junction box buried under the access, because we were built, I was planning like that. Then from the junction box to pulling the power to the other subdivision, it's right. It is on the easement. So the, at that time, we planned like that. But the subdividing is from that planning. Then Thomas made sure all those things. So that just, if it goes, trying to be no problem.
Sure.
So yeah, that's you know, effectively accurate. I mean, we did give them a waiver to push that building forward a couple of feet. We were able to give them 2 feet as a planning determination. And to build it against the property setback there on the side yard, you know, is there. However, it's still scooched over a little bit. It's not 100% in. So, you know, that condition there is to just bring everything administratively into compliance. Again, as far as parking was going, it was intended and designed so that the people in the front yard are parking diagonally in across these spaces so that there is room. In practice, sometimes what's on paper doesn't always translate very well to reality. So this is why we have the parking situation that we do now. And then again, when planning, you know, we have our minimum of 6,000 square feet. The lot is 13,000 and change. So is there room to divide into 2,000 square foot lots? Yes. Can it be done? Yes. Does it need, you know, conditions in order to make it effective, or does it need conditions to make it a sustainable living situation for both lots? It does. And that's why we're here. If it was cut and dry and it was very clear, we wouldn't have to be here to review that. But in light of, you know, the realities of the structure or the realities of the lot, you know, this is where Planning Commission is here to do.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Alan Travis here. I got several questions and a couple comments.
Sure, go for it.
First of all, just a quick comment, Thomas. I'm on phone, so I didn't log in on Zoom, so I guess I wasn't seeing whatever images you were putting up there. But just to be clear then, so the road access, or the driveway access to get to the lot 3 Bravo, that's on the east side of the existing structure. You're facing from the road, right? It's on the right side. That would be the access. Am I seeing that correctly?
Yes, that's correct, Travis. So, Travis, if you are looking at, let me get a page number, page 28 of the packet, if you can do that.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. I have all this. I'm actually pretty familiar with this lot. You know, the previous owner from years ago, I helped to fill in that giant hole in the back there, which a lot of water, I will mention, does come out of that thing. And there has been some drainage issues that have been brought up in recent times, which leads me to another thing I'll bring up in a moment. But, you know, there really needs to be some sort of relief put in there along the edge of the property line to create some sort of leach field off the back there to kind of help the front driveway area where that water is to kind of control manner. And then that leads me to the conversation of the World War II structure that was on the, well, what was once that lot, now it's subdivided. So to the left in the rear there, I'm just wondering, is there any kind of conflict with what they have planned on and a little cleanup or the ongoing testing of that lot where there was a fuel tank, I believe, in that old World War II structure? I just want to make sure that that wasn't going to create any conflict with what they had going on there. I wanted to bring up the lot size. So I'm trying to understand if MK is just wanting to build a single family building in the back or not a duplex on that rear lot?
Single family building. Three bedroom, two bath, one car garage.
Gotcha.
Two story.
I know NK has built a couple houses in the town, and so I want to say thank you, and I applaud anybody that, you know, is basically filling a void that's needed in our community is by building houses and providing small homes for people. So, you know, I don't want to ever throw any for doing that. But I am a little concerned on this law or what, you know, what's being asked for, just because of mostly what's been mentioned already, and that's the access to the rear house. Now, if you were just asking this as keeping the lot as all one, and then it was just a lot with a duplex, you know, two single family dwellings on it, and then, you know, the person that lived in the front would know that, hey, you know, the access to the rear place drives 2 feet from my bedroom or whatever, you know, at any given time of the day, and who knows, you know, what that would cause, or actually snow removal or anything. I could definitely see some serious conflict if it was subdivided and now there's two separate owners, possibly in the future. Just to compare this to other lots where we have given like a flagpole granted access into a lot, I can't think of anyone since I've been on the Planning Commission that we've allowed a driveway that close to a dwelling to access the rear houses. There's always more space in any of the ones I've been involved with anyway. And even those were controversial, and was pointed out to us from the planning department how, you know, there's potential conflict, and we end up putting a bunch of restrictions or some sort of you know, guidelines on how that would look in the future, even more strict than the ones that Thomas has kind of got listed here. So, and then one other thing I would want to mention is that it's great to put a garage in, and that would actually help, you know, maybe relieve some of your parking issues there. But again, I've seen this happen several buildings around the community where they have a garage and then it ends up getting turned into something else. They are not used as a garage, and then there ends up being a parking problem anyway. So I just would hate to see that happen again. So yeah, I don't know. I'd like to hear from the other commissioners as well. You know, I'm not against him building the structure back there as much as it being subdivided, having a separate structure there. And mainly my only concern really is that I just feel that the access is too close to the existing structure for it to be a separate lot. Like, again, I'm parked here in a parking lot right now of a structure where there's all these buildings, and the parking's terrible. But these people, when they come in here and they rent one of these places, they know that, you know, they're sharing the parking lot. It's just a situation. I feel like that's what it would be if it, you know, just a single lot kept whole and you just built another dwelling in the back, and it would just be a duplex lot. Yeah, so I'll end up there. Thank you for letting me speak, and look forward to hearing from the other commissioners. Thanks.
Yeah, I'd like to say I feel like the housing need outweighs some of the potential issues, though they are issues. My question is that the width of room for the drive doesn't violate the planning code.
Well, so right now, the way that the lot is laid out, that 20-foot access, that would be the standard.
Okay.
That's why we recommend shortening that, or not shortening that, what are you, making it smaller, narrowing that. Thank you.
And my other question, is there no possibility for pulling a driveway off of Overland? It's too steep?
It appears to be too steep. Again, when I was up there taking these pictures, you can kind of see, I mean, you don't have a lot of room before that. The rise over run there is pretty solid. Here's, at its peak, this is kind of what you're looking at. There's a little bit of a lip down here. Travis, this is page 31. And page 32 in the packet. What could be done conceivably is putting in fill in order for somebody to be able to park up on the street up there, not on the street, but on that level, and then either stairs down or building that lot up so that the structure that's planned to go there would be accessed from basically the second floor and then down to lower levels, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
but otherwise, it's considerably steep.
And is that something that could be done at a later date if the lots did get sold separately? You know, because assuming that they're held by one landowner, it would be manageable to manage that driveway.
I think it could be done like later, but the Overland Drive is on upper edge and on the lot is way higher than two-story. And then when you lower, you can drive build like that. But this is a high earthquake zone, and then lots of rains, water flows. If I do that, I gotta build very strong retaining wall over there. But even retaining wall over there built, if there is earthquakes and water in there, it could create landslide. That's why I was worried about for safety first. So the best way is like this way, if driveway comes up and parking would be better. But if really necessary, I could build like that later. There is a bedrock is on the roadside. I pushed until bedrock showing up. That way I planned. I can try to anchor to the bedrock for retaining wall, but it would still earthquake zone is anchored bedrock, and just vaults are nothing there, earthquake. So could I say more? On the driveway access on the duplex lower side, there is no windows because it's south side of wind brings lots of rain and wind driven water, and that's the there is a rotting process starts with the south side of window or door. One thing. Other thing is if the car driving up and down, and then people not seeing the from bedroom or the before Travis mentioned, and then in that way I would try it not much interrupting the two bedroom the two duplex side of renters. The I tried to I adopt the that Chavez mentioned that problem could be, and then as much as I try to less problem creating that way. And also I put the on the access side of corner lots, I put the aluminum pipes and then pulled the string on it. And then I put the landmark on it. So I'm going to shave exactly on the lot line for digging, and then bringing the utility up there. After utility up there, I'm going to put the ditch over there for the water escaping all around that lot. And then before the owner named Scott built some drainage system in the back yard, back lot. There is a drainage system that water drains in and then goes out the lot 2. He had that lot 2, my lot, all